live here at Cranfield Studios. Welcome.
Cranfield Studios?
Yes, this is Cranfield Studios.
Cranfield.
Our headquarters, where we can just start talking about our new podcast episodes. So, Justin.
Brought to you by the 2012 Chevy Equinox.
Oh, yeah. You have to be careful with that kind of, because GM and Chevrolet are crappy.
Yeah, never mind. GM and Chevrolet suck. I need to talk louder.
Okay, let's talk. So,
bienvenidos.
No. Bienvenidos.
Bienvenidos.
Correcto. Bienvenidos, amigas y amigos, amantes del deporte de la NFL. Con ustedes, su amigo Alexander González, quien les estará comentando junto a nuestro especialista de turno, Justin Daly, about a lot of things.
Yeah, what are we talking about today?
I don't know. We will try to talk about a kind of an analysis between the offensive group of people against the defensive for...
Wait, offensive group of people?
Yes, I don't know how to say this, but it's just like an analysis between, okay, if we are starting working against studying Denver Broncos offensive team against the defensive teams for the other.
Yeah, you know, essentially.
Essentially is that the idea, right?
This is the fifth quarter blog and podcast, if you haven't figured that out yet. Yes. Yes. Drum roll, please. Why, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Alexander. This is Justin Dayrud. Alex already introduced me. We're here to talk about some football. We're going to keep it short and simple tonight. We wanted to do a podcast on wins and losses for the Broncos with their schedule throughout the 2012 season, but I just broke it down to my friend here, Alex, about what is the offensive and defensive battles. How am I going to predict wins and losses? Well, we're going to break it down by category. Offense versus defense, Broncos versus their opponent. Then we're going to break it down by more categories than just offense and defense. We're going to look at offensive linemen, the running game, wide receivers, quarterback, and tight ends. From the offensive perspective. And from the defensive perspective, we're going to look at defensive line, linebackers, cornerbacks, safeties, and who they match up against, whether it's the defensive side of the ball for the Broncos or the opponents or vice versa.
Okay. ¿Cómo vamos a empezar a hablar sobre este tema? Porque es bastante extenso. ¿Quieres empezar hablando sobre el schedule? In terms of the, let's start about Denver Broncos offensive lineman against Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, we can't go that way.
That's true. Well, let's analyze only the offensive team for the Denver Broncos. Who is going to play tight end? What's the
you have to kind of look at it as a package because we don't know who's really going to start yet. Now we have an assumption that Peyton Manning's going to be able to play. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be the quarterback.
Correct.
Is that really going to happen? Who knows? We're hoping it'll happen because we just spent $90-something million on Peyton Manning for 5 years. But we don't know, which is why this is such a hard thing to do during the offseason, which is why it takes some time. But let's talk about the potential offensive line.
Okay. ¿Cuál puede ser la línea ofensiva de los Denver Broncos?
So, they have starting center J.D. Walton. This is a particular cat. This guy, I don't know if he is as good as everybody thinks he is or if he's as bad as everybody thinks he is. According to a couple of statisticians out there and people that write about football and how well people play, J.D. Walton was the worst center in NFL football last year.
Esto sería interesante poder escuchar una opinión sobre JD from RG3, for example.
Yeah, he's from Baylor. So the Broncos, if they thought JD Walton was that good, they probably wouldn't have drafted a center in the fourth round this year from Baylor.
Una pregunta, sin embargo. Does JD can play other position other than...
Not really. He's kind of got the guard body, but he's more of a center. So I think the Broncos brought in somebody that will eventually start. I don't think J.D. Walton's going to be around for very much longer. Anyway, let's get back to the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Center's J.D. Walton. Guards are Zane Beatles and Chris Cooper. Then you have left tackle of Ryan Clady, who's a Pro Bowler. Chris Cooper's also a Pro Bowler. And then right tackle Orlando Franklin, who's in his second. Last year, they're the number one rushing unit, but that's all because of Tim Tebow and the threat that he always ran.
Tim Tebow.
Okay. Yep. So this year, can we expect him to be the best offensive running unit? No, but we can probably expect him to be in the top 10.
Yeah, and that would be interesting, having Peyton Manning as a quarterback.
Yeah, Peyton Manning definitely provides more territory to run because people don't know if he's going to check out of a run at the line of scrimmage or check out of a pass. So the threat of running is there.
So básicamente esta línea ofensiva es really, really young in terms of age, right?
Yep, the offensive line is one of the youngest in the NFL. Zane Beatles and J.D. Walton are going into their third season. Ryan Clady's going into his fifth season, and Chris Cooper, I believe, is going into his sixth or seventh season. And Orlando Franklin's going into his second season, so they're all pretty young.
Con lo que quiere decir que John Elway is building, o está construyendo un equipo para el futuro, not just for this season only.
Yeah, he's building for the future, that's for sure. So they're trying to build through the draft. They're looking for people to fill in from free agency, but they're looking for drafted players to kind of build depth on a team. And that's what every Super Bowl championship team has, is depth.
And ¿tú crees que teniendo esta línea ofensiva tan joven puede causar problemas en cuanto a que son rookies, kind of, against the other teams?
Pretty much. The Broncos have some rookies, but offensive line, I think we're pretty much set. Like, you keep the same guys there, maybe they start a rookie here and there, who knows. But let's move on to other offensive categories, such as the run game. Willis McGahee, he's going to be the starter again. And he's got two guys behind him that could have some potential. No Sean Moreno, taken in the first round a few years ago. Hasn't really shown what he could do, or has he shown what he could do? Who knows? But he hasn't really been that productive. And the Broncos also drafted Ronnie Hillman in the, I believe, second round this year. So he has some star potential, some star running back prowess.
Sí, honestamente, Willis McGahee is not my favorite player. Not because he is not playing well, but he's kind of old.
Yeah, he's going to turn 31 this year, but everybody thought that the Broncos were making a mistake by signing a free agent running back last year that was turning 30. But Willis McGahee had 1,199 rushing yards and made it to a Pro Bowl.
So based on that, Noshon Moreno is out pretty much.
Noshon got hurt towards the end of the season in Kansas City. He was looking great in that game, by the way. He had like 3 carries and a couple of receptions. It was in the first quarter. He had, I think, about 60 yards. He was looking great. He was just starting to come on. And then he got hurt. Blew out his ACL, I believe. Hopefully he gets back by training camp. Who knows? He may not be able to start or play anytime soon. He may be on the injured reserve list for the first 8 games.
Okay, so basado en eso, el starter will be Willis McGahee.
Willis McGahee will start. If Noshon can make it back, he'll be backup. If not, it's probably going to be a guy by the name of Lance Ball, who is backup, and he started to play really well towards the end of the season last year.
Pero puede haber una disputa entre Lance Ball and Ronnie Hillman.
Yeah, Ronnie Hillman has a chance of stepping in and being a kind of a substitute situational player, but who knows? Don't really know enough about him, haven't really seen him play. Until he gets some pads on and starts hitting some linebackers, we don't really know.
What about this guy, Mario Fanning?
So Mario Fanning, he's an interesting cat. He was looking great during training camp last year, but he blew out his knee in the middle of training camp. And all of the reporters, everybody that was at camp kept saying, who's this guy? Who's he? Where's he coming from? He was the Auburn running back with Cam Newton. when they won the national championship, which is why he wasn't really a big name. If Cam Newton wasn't there, that offense would have been on the back of Mario Fannin's shoulders. You know, he would have carried the offense.
Lo cual es importante porque es joven, 24 years old only, so
yeah,
he can come back.
He's got about 6 years left in his running back career. We're hoping he comes back. You know, there's probably only going to be about 4 roster spots for running backs. John Fox likes to do a offensive scheme that is running back by committee. Mm-hmm. Typically, they'll suit up 3. If they suit up 4, hopefully we have our starter. Willis, mm-hmm. Lance Ball, No'Shawn, and either Ronnie Hillman or Mario Fannin.
So that means that Xavier Ullman is out of the picture.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if he played very well at all on the Broncos practice squad last year.
Let's see si hay algún tipo de sorpresa en los training camps. That's interesting, and that's why trying to predict everything from this point in time is a little bit difficult.
Very difficult. You can't really predict anything without seeing them hit people in pads, without being hit. But that's why when I go through and I start comparing all of these different areas of the offense and the defense and who's who and what's what, there's so many different factors that could change. Imagine if, you know, Peyton Manning gets hurt. What are the Broncos going to do? They could change their entire offensive system.
Correcto, correcto. Fortunately, they have an iPad.
Fortunately, they have iPads. But DJ Williams can't apparently use an iPad. He's still with flashcards.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. ¿Qué otra alternativa en cuanto a las categorías ofensivas podemos hablar? ¿Podemos hablar sobre los tight ends o podemos hablar sobre nuestros offensive linemen, los cuales ya tú comentaste algo sobre los centers? También wide receivers.
Yep, so Broncos have 2 young wide receivers that are probably going to start. You have Demaryius Thomas, who's a 3rd-year wide receiver out of Georgia Tech. And you have Eric Decker, who's a 3rd-year wide receiver out of, I believe, Minnesota. They showed a lot of flash last year. Eric Decker was dry for his last 6 games. He had like 2 catches in his last 6 games, but he started hot with Kyle Orton throwing him the ball. So I think Eric Decker is going to be a really big player this year under Peyton Manning. He's going to do really good things. Demaryius Thomas, I'm a little concerned about his route running. Some have said that his route running is not very good, not as precise as it needs to be. And with Peyton Manning drawing up the plays and trying to change things at the line of scrimmage, he needs his players to be at the exact same spot as he wants them to be at the right time. If Demaryius Thomas can't get that figured out, you're going to see a lot of miscues, and you're not going to see Demaryius Thomas really catching the ball that often.
Lo cual me obliga a preguntarte, dentro del roster veo bastantes wide receivers, so eventualmente muchos de ellos no van a participar en el equipo final.
Yeah, so last year the Broncos kept, I believe, 5 wide receivers on their roster during the games. So we're looking at the first 5, Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, Matt Willis, Bubba Caldwell, also known as Andre Caldwell, and another guy. And we have about 8 guys that are up for that spot. I think it's going to be Brandon Stokley. He's a player out of, I think, Louisiana somewhere. He's played with Peyton Manning before. He came out of retirement, basically, to play with the Broncos. He's taken the league minimum salary, and he just wants to play football. Everybody's saying he's looking great. He's fast. He's fit. He's quick. I think he's going to take that last roster spot.
Wow, that's impresionante porque son 14 años en la liga, 36 años de edad, y él quiere seguir jugando al fútbol. So, yeah, es un jugador que puede traer algunas sorpresas en el último cupo del roster para los wide receivers.
Yeah. So, it's up for grabs, but I think that's the Broncos wide receiver core. And then we got probably 2 or 3 guys that'll play on special teams. Now, talking about tight ends, that's pretty much the last thing on the offensive side that we're going to talk about today. But because we want to kind of keep it short and sweet, we'll just finish up with the offensive side and who's going to do what and why. and then we'll kind of, maybe we'll do a podcast on defenses. So, tight ends, Broncos signed two tight ends in free agency. They signed Jacob Tammy, who played with the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning 2 years ago and had one of the best tight end receptions, touchdowns, years of any tight end in the league that year, and he didn't even start the season as a starter. He only filled in with when Dallas Clark got hurt. Then the Broncos signed a guy by the name of Joel Dreesen. He was the backup tight end at the Houston Texans last year. He had a lot of TD catches, caught a lot of touchdowns, and he's also a Colorado native.
Si te pones a estudiar detenidamente el roster de los Denver Broncos para los tight end, te puedes dar cuenta que solo estos dos son jugadores, solo estos dos jugadores son realmente jugadores experimentados. Los demás son pretty much rookies, or yep, at least 2 years.
Yeah, that's right. So the Broncos drafted two guys last year, Julius Thomas and Virgil Green. They are two tight ends that have a lot of upside, a lot of potential. I'm not expecting them to strike with a lot of, be really good tight ends this year, but maybe in a couple of years, which is probably why they went out and assigned two tight ends that can catch the ball for Peyton Manning. Then we have a couple other guys. What is that? Cornelius Ingram, Anthony Miller, and looks like we talked about Virgil Green. Mm. Right, so these other two guys, don't really know much about them. I hope they make a good impact during training camp. But if I don't know much about them, they haven't really been talked about. Maybe they're a best kept secret.
Let's see. Okay. Bueno, básicamente esa fue la línea ofensiva o dentro de lo que llamamos el roster ofensivo de los Denver Broncos. Analizamos los tight end, analizamos los wide receivers. Por supuesto, Peyton Manning es la figura para la posición de quarterback. Analizamos también running backs and fullbacks. What else?
For the offensive side?
Maybe special teams?
Yeah, special teams is a big factor. Here's a crazy situation. San Diego Chargers 2 years ago led the league, I believe, in defense and was like number two or number three in offense for the entire league.
Wow.
But their special teams was almost dead last. They gave up touchdown returns. They did horrible.
Fumbles,
all sorts of things. Their special teams is horrible. So some people think special teams is just, whatever, it's just kickers. You know, I sometimes have that feeling as well. But it goes to show and it proves that special teams are important because the San Diego Chargers didn't make the playoffs that year. If you remember 2 years ago, that was the Kansas City Chiefs that won the division. The Chiefs. How did the Chiefs win the division over the top five offense and top five defense in the division? How did that happen? Well, it's because their special teams suck. Mm. Broncos, I'm expecting them to be middle of the pack. Nothing special and nothing too bad.
Muy bien. Muchísimas gracias por esos comentarios acerca de los special teams, que también son parte importante, como bien lo comentó Justin, en la ofensiva de un equipo. Estos special teams pueden ayudar a la ofensiva en ocasiones especiales cuando el juego está por definirse y se necesita este tipo de experticia. Básicamente ese fue nuestro análisis por el día de hoy en cuanto a los offensive linemen. Eso fue todo en cuanto a nuestro, digamos que nuestro preliminar análisis de los Denver Broncos. En el próximo capítulo hablaremos sobre el mismo tema, pero a nivel de los equipos o los jugadores del equipo defensivo, que por supuesto también forman parte de esa estrategia de cómo ser exitosos de cara a la nueva temporada.
That's it
for the rest.
That's the Broncos offense. Yeah.
Para el próximo capítulo hablaremos no solamente del equipo defensivo, sino alguna que otra noticia que se esté generando en el mundo de la NFL.
This is the fifth quarter blog and podcast. Justin David Alexander Gonzalez signing off. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you.
Adiós.
Adiós, amigos.